Today on Real Radio.
And so we see in this chapter just a tragic act when faith fails. And tonight you might be thinking, you know, Jack, my faith's been failing. Well, my friend, there's still many chapters ahead.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. In chapter 21, and other passages for that matter, we're taught some pretty valuable lessons about something, well, quite frankly, happens to all of us at one time or another. We experience a breakdown in our faith. Now, when this happens, it doesn't always mean that the Almighty will simply withdraw himself from us. Scripture is full of examples of God using crooked sticks to draw straight lines, if you will. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now in a lesson taken from 1 Samuel chapter 21. It's called When Faith Fails.
And because of David's life that we see being lived here, evil begins to ensue. Now, you remember that we left off where David was talking with Jonathan, and there's been this agreement. And Jonathan says, if my father doesn't want you in my life or in our lives or here, I'll shoot the arrows past you and then you flee. So Jonathan shoots the arrows and David begins to flee. And it's a fugitive course that takes David some 10 years away. 10 years. But you got to ask the question, was David maybe supposed to stand? Was he maybe supposed to hold out and hang on to God? The things that follow are quite disturbing. So evil begins its plot. We learn that from verse 7. Verse 8, ambition begins to take over. Ambition will begin to make its advancement. And David said to Ahimelech, is there not here, listen, on hand a spear or a sword? For I have brought neither sword nor weapons with me because the king's business required haste. That's not true again. But watch this. What's David asking for a sword for? The last time we left off, seeing David in a battle that put him on the map, so to speak, what kind of tool was he using for warfare? A sling. Now he's asking for a sword. Okay, let's not read too much into it. So he asked for a sword. Let's not make too big of a deal about it. The interesting thing is, he asked for a sword. It is Goliath's sword. And to me, that speaks about some certain things here that we might want to take note. Number one, David, you are a man of war because God has gifted you at war. God has given you a mind and God has given you anointing. Don't be afraid. See, when our faith begins to fail, everything begins to bother us. We get very afraid. David says to the priest, I need a sword. Do you have a sword? And the answer is, it's Goliath's sword. Now, verse 9 teaches us about the carnality of this. So the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the Valley of Elah. There it is, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you take it, take it. For there is no other except that one here. And David said, listen, there is none like it. Give it to me. This is it. This is the sword. And I want to ask David, this sword's huge. What do you do with this thing? Remember how big it was? It's gigantic. Well, it's Goliath's sword. Oh, there's none like it. The priest simply says, we don't have any other sword but this sword. David says, oh, but there's no sword like that sword. There's no sword like that sword. That sword didn't do anything. It didn't defeat Israel. Didn't defeat David. It's the implements of the world. When David's faith is failing, I need Goliath's sword. When we begin to get our eyes off of God, we naturally, not supernaturally, we naturally begin to go after earthly things to help us out. We go after things to prop us up when our faith is not solely upon God. The danger of this is we can continue to live our lives as believers, but not exercise strong faith in God. Meaning we can be a believer, we can be walking with God, so to speak, but we've got things that are propping us up. And if those things from the world are taken out from underneath us, we'll fall down. Well, let me tell you, whatever it is in our lives, if it's the ambition of life, or if it's the pursuit of this, or power, or drugs, or I don't know, the acceptance of men or women or a crowd or whatever, that's a prop. And God's grace is such that he loves you so much, he will send someone to pull that carpet out from underneath your feet so that your faith will be brought down to the brink so that you can start again. David's faith is going to be brought down, but God's going to build him up again. But listen, you don't lay a skyscraper down on top of a clay foundation. I was blown away, as you have been perhaps, when you go to New York City. And you got to wonder, there's so much cement going so high in the air. You got to wonder if it doesn't throw the earth off, you know. It's like, doesn't, gosh, all this cement, you'd think it'd cause the earth to wobble or something that's so big. Then you start thinking, how do they build those things so high? In September, I was at the Empire State Building. It was so tall, it was in the clouds. You couldn't see the top of it when you stood at the base of it. It was in the clouds. Reaches to the sky. You gotta wonder, how do they build stuff there? You drive around Chino Hills, have you noticed Chino Hills? I don't know, the ground is sinking. Drives me nuts. They fill it in, and then about 6 months later, your car gets its wheels almost tore off again because it's sinking. And there's going to be an accident sometime because it keeps sinking. And there's no sign, warning, dip, warning, city sinking, something. No. But, you know, you build something in Chino Hills, and it's like, oh, my goodness, they got to do all the soils tests, and it's because the ground's so unstable. I understand people that, you know, you have swimming pools in Chino Hills. Your pool is moving because the ground is so weird. How do you build something on that? Well, it's very difficult. And you go to New York, they build these mountains of metal and concrete. You want to know why? Manhattan is granite. You can build a skyscraper because it's on a firm foundation. It's not going anywhere. You've got to build your strength as a believer on Christ, who is our foundation, the Word of God, knowing the Word. You say, well, I already know all that. Great. Then watch your building grow, your spiritual success. Watch it advance. But how's the foundation? We will never know how our foundation is until it's hit or struck. Those great twin towers came down, but frankly, the foundation didn't go anywhere, did it? The foundation. And I just thought about this. David, you don't need Goliath's sword. You've got God. You're a sling kind of guy. You know, you go out there and you, when you're even younger, David, remember you killed a lion and a bear. And then you killed that big uncircumcised nincompoop Goliath. And then the cool part is you took the sword that you're trusting in and you drug it across his neck and cut his head off. That's pretty cool. But that sword's never done nothing. But you know what? When our faith fails, we'll make some disastrous moves. Final point, verses 10 to 15, when our faith fails, our witness will suffer. Look at verse 10, 11. Our witness suffers because we go back into defeat. This is weird. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul. That That means he didn't leave Saul's presence. It meant he left Saul's kingdom, the realm, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Anybody remember where Goliath was from? Gath. Goliath was from Gath. David, what are you doing? And the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, singing, Saul has slain thousands, but David 10,000s? What's he going back there for? This enemy had already been defeated. Remember in 1 Samuel 17, verses 8 through 10, Goliath came out and he said, all right, here's the deal. Israel, you send me one of your captains. I'll fight him. Whoever wins becomes the champion of them all. And whoever loses becomes the servant to you. Remember that? So David came out there, whipped them. That meant that Gath and the Philistines were losers. They were to be Israel's servants. It was over for them. David goes to a place that's defeated. When our faith fails, we will almost in a unconscious manner gravitate back to places of defeat. In other words, when your friend or when you or when I have backslidden and you go back and visit the world and you're backslidden, think, what are you doing? Where do you go? You go to old hangouts. What are you doing there? You don't belong there anymore. You're a new creation in Christ. It's that old man again. Turn left. Turn left. There, remember that? What are you doing? David, what are you doing going to Gath? They're defeated. The enemy has been vanquished. David goes to Gath. It's a strange thing to me. When our faith suffers and our witness suffers, we often gravitate to things that have been completely defeated and hold no power to help. What was David thinking? Why go back to the places that the Lord has delivered us from? You know what I'm saying? Is something going on in your life, and God might be using this right now to speak to you? Someone's enticing you to go back to something where God's delivered you out of it. Maybe alcoholism is your thing. You can't handle drink, and God's delivered you from that. And somebody keeps saying, come on, oh, come on. Maybe it's a boss. Hey, buddy, come on. You know, come hang out with the guys. Happy hour, and who knows, you might get that raise. That's satanic. You know, that guy's probably got horns underneath his hair. Think about it. Hey, if you just do this, you know, there could be quite a thing in your stocking, you know, for Christmas. That's demonic. That's just like Satan standing there at the tree. Oh, come on, Eve, you know the score. God doesn't want you to eat of the fruit of the tree because he knows the day that you eat of it, you'll know good from evil. You'll be just like him. That's why he doesn't want you to have it. Go ahead. And the Bible says, so when Eve looked at the fruit and saw all the tantalizing things about it, make me wise, make me powerful, make me Miss Eden. I'm going to go for it. She went after it. Hey, it worked in the garden. Look, hey, Adam and Eve were created in perfection, remember? So I'm not going to fall for that. Oh, yeah? They were perfect, and they fell for it. Be careful. We need to be careful. I don't know. Is it me? But it seems like ever since they raised the first wall in the building over there in the property, Satan got, like, out of a cage. And he keeps, you know, like, driving by this place and the new place and your place and my place. Hey, what's going on over there? It's almost like when they raised that that wall up. It triggered a satanic alarm. Hey! This thing goes off in hell. What is going on? Can't we keep that little church in that stupid little hidden place where nobody can find it? It's weird. It's all spiritual, man. It's heavy. Strange. But you know, God is so good because you know, I remember them raising the wall and standing there going, God, and I'm crying. You didn't know that. I was out there by myself. And the wall's going, I'm crying. God, you're so awesome. And the enemy, he makes plans. But you know what? I'd rather have the enemy make plans. Wouldn't you rather be a believer? Wouldn't you rather be a church that's that's advancing in the kingdom so that the enemy's got to make plans? I wonder how many churches Satan drives by and goes, well, we got that one tied up. We got that one silenced. Look at them. They're scared of a shadow. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again because I just want it to be a true fulfillment. You know, when Satan and his little demons take a drive, you know, they're out on a Friday night driving around. And they drive by this place or any place where we gather. I don't care if it's on the side of a hill. To worship and to serve the Lord. I want them to get upset. I want them to go, oh no. Drive, go, go. Get out of here. This place gives me the jeebies. They're singing, hallelujah, praising the Lord, Bible, missionary stuff, people getting touched by God. Let's get out of here. I can't take it. Wouldn't that be great? I hope that's how it is. We need to stay out of the places of defeat. Don't go back to the things that the Lord has delivered us from. It's not worth it. It's a dead end. Jesus warned. Jesus said that you can take a pig, you know, and you can wash them all up, but it's still a pig and he'll go right back to the mud because he's a pig. Actually, Peter said that. Jesus didn't say that. Peter said that. Peter also said, you know, a dog, dog's a funny thing. He'll puke his guts up on the carpet, shake his head and stuff, run around the yard a few times, come right back and lick it right up. And Peter says, you know what? That's how people are who they're religious, but they don't know God. You can get them all dressed up, but they're like a pig. They run right back into the mud because they're a pig. They go to mud. And because they're dogs, they go to vomit. But listen, you're not a pig and you're not a dog. You're a lamb. You're a sheep. You ever worry? Oh, I hope I'm not a goat. I've never seen a lamb go, man, I hope I'm not a goat. Am I a goat? They turn to another sheep. Do I look like a goat to you? You know, look behind my ears. I've been told, don't know if it's true, I've been told that a sheep will act like a goat at times if it hangs around goats. But it won't stay like that. I think when God sets his seal upon your heart and your life and he redeems you, you may have a lapse and a breakdown in faith. But you know what? The shepherd's going to get you through. You cry out to him in your distress. He'll get you through. Well, I'm a goat. If you were a goat, you wouldn't be asking the question if you were a goat. You wouldn't care. You'd be eating tin cans and trash and enjoying it. You'd be going back to the places where you once trafficked and loving it because you're a goat. Because you're a dog or because you're a pig. But a lamb, a sheep, no. Sheep, lambs, they get all wiggy and freaky when they're away from the shepherd. They get all nervous. They don't know how to act. Isn't that just like us? Praise the Lord for that. Very quickly, verse 12. When our faith fails, fear overcomes our faith. It says that David took these words to heart and became very much afraid of King Achish of Gath. That's very sad. Here's a great warrior now. He's just cowering in fear. When our faith begins to wane, people, fear begins to creep in. And it goes in this progression, jot it down. When my faith is failing, fear comes in. Then I begin to act timid. I don't have any more of the oomph to get out there and do things for God. I get real protective of my interests. I get timid. Timidity is a sin. Oh, look, he's so timid. Isn't that cute? No. In spiritual things, no. Fear leads to timidity. Timidity leads to cowardice. That is like a soul is imprisoned. And the end result is unbelief. We have to be careful as a church. We have to be careful as God's people. And then tragically, verses 13 to 15, we end with this. Tragically, when our faith fails, our witness suffers, and we become people that we're not. It says, look at this, verse 13. I mean, if it wasn't so serious, it'd be funny. So David changed his behavior before them, and he pretended madness in their hands. He scratched on the doors of the gate, and he let his saliva fall down his beard. He acted like an idiot. He got scared. He's playing around with the camp of the enemy. His faith is now out the window. He changes his behavior. He starts acting weird in front of them. This is David. He starts acting like a loony. He fakes madness. The word's insanity. What was he doing? I mean, he's being weird. And they're going, can you imagine these guys with spears and stuff? They're going. He scratched on the doors of the gate. This is David. How sad is this? Oil ran down the beard of Aaron in anointing. David's spitting saliva out on his beard, foaming at the mouth, faking like he's nuts. And when we're like this, in this situation, we make horrible decisions. And David's making a horrible one now. And it's kind of funny because the king goes on to say, take this idiot out of my presence. And the word in Hebrew is hilarious. We don't get it in the Greek or in the English here. He says, don't I have enough idiots in my presence already? That's what he says. It's what's in the Hebrew. There's already too many idiots here. Take this one out. It's hilarious. I guess the only redeeming thing about this, Saul was insane. David had to fake it. But his faith is failing nonetheless. And so we see in this chapter just a tragic act when faith fails. And tonight you might be thinking, you know, Jack, my faith's been failing. Well, my friend, there's still many chapters ahead of us to study, and God will so build up David's faith.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called When Faith Fails. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 21 and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this fascinating Old Testament book. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, as we transition into 2015, we'd like to extend to you an invitation to join us for Pastor Jack's midweek study that airs live on hischannel.com. That's at 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. In fact, it's every Wednesday night. And tonight, it's a special New Year's Eve service aired live. We hope you can join us. Just go to hischannel.com, and it's super easy after that. Just a couple of points and clicks away, and you'll be joining us for our very special New Year's Eve service live on His Channel, hischannel.com. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.